Hey, so I'm reading these words. Listen up. Artificial intelligence advocates wax eloquent about the possibilities of machine-based immortality and resurrection. And their disciplines, the architects of a virtual reality and cyberspace, exalt in their expectation of godlike omnipotence, or presence rather, and disembodied perfection. Let me say the first words over again. Artificial intelligence advocates, they wax eloquent about the possibilities of, now listen here, quote, machine-based immortality and resurrection. Machine-based immortality and resurrection. Let me ask you something tonight about motivation. What motivated Charles Manson? What motivated Jeffrey Dahmer? What motivated Adolf Hitler? There are things that motivate us. In crime, we would look for the motivating factor in somebody stealing or somebody killing or somebody doing some level of crime. You look for the motivation. In the world that we live in, with all the things that seem to be breaking down, and with the fact that there is, corporate, global realization of the end of days, what's the motivation? What's the motivation behind a fallen cherub, a satanic presence, the reason for globalism, the desire to come to the temple in Jerusalem, beat its chest, and declare that it is God? Well, listen, it is September the 27th. It's a Monday night, and this is Russ Dizdar. You're listening to Shatter the Darkness Live. Shatter Live. It is, to be preemptive in what we bring out to you. And I want to say welcome to all the brand new listeners and to the thousands of those who come to the website, shatterthedarkness.net. There is the listing of this week's series. And you can listen live all week long, or you can listen to the archives later on. The title or the theme for the week, September 27th to October 1st, quote, "So You Want to Be God?" Now, the subtitle is this, "Evolution to Deity, Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot." I want to say it again, because it is the pervasive thought in hundreds of millions worldwide when it comes to the New Age movement, when it comes to those who are doing the studies in, well, the field around the earth, the living conscious universe, the concept of global mind, the declarations of a spiritual evolution to deity, a spiritual evolution that brings a transformation. Some have called it homo lumos, homo nautica, homo deity. I'm going to deal with two of the factors for that quest that is out there. It is literally threaded through and very deep into the rise of globalism. It is the quest of transhumanists. It is the quest and belief of some of those in the world of genetics. What could be the motivation behind the quest to, listen, gain immortality on our own, gain a resurrection on our own? I'm going to quote again from a book that's called The Religion of Technology, the subtitle for the book, The Divinity of Man and the Spirit of Invention. It is by David F. Noble. Now, I'm looking at page 5 here. The quote is this, quote, "Artificial intelligence, AI. The advocates wax eloquent about the possibilities of machine-based immortality and resurrection." It goes on to say these words, "The architects of virtual reality and cyberspace exalt in their expectation of godlike omnipresence and disembodied perfection." Goes on to say these words, "Genetic engineers imagine themselves divinely inspired participants in a new creation." I want you to hear the words again, because this is something that is a part of the drivenness, the motivation. It's going to be found in genetic research. It's going to be found in the quest of combining spirit and technology. It is the meditation of many. Quote, genetic engineers imagine themselves divinely inspired participants in a new creation. Pretty amazing to me. Monday night, out of the theme, So You Want to Be God, Evolution to Deity, Quest of the Ages, Chasing the Elusive Carrot. Well, we're going to take a look at all of this tonight. And listen, Monday night, the goal of the insurrection, a clash in the heavens, I will be God, was the was a cry of an incredibly powerful super being. Tuesday night, the Imago Dei, is not enough. You're being ripped off. Seek godhood. Is it really possible? Now, Tuesday at 7, if we are on that Survive to Thrive, we will have the subject, That Ancient Luciferian Doctrine is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, The Lies That Kicked Off Hell's Power in the Genes of Humanity. Wednesday night at 6 p.m., Embracing the Luciferic Lie Altered the DNA, the Genetics of Humanity. Like a virus, only a billion times worse. Now, Wednesday at 7, the live Ragged Edge show you can join. The title that night, New Age Spiritual, listen, Activation of Dormant DNA to Godhood. The coming planetary wave of, I don't know where or why, a spiritual wave. Who's riding the quest of that wave? Now, Thursday night, the title at 6 p.m. is The Evolution to Homo Lumos, Homo Deity. It is the quest to dig ourselves out of sin and death. And does it work? Trying to change what we fear and grab what we cannot fix with finite hands. Friday night, 6 p.m., Glorification, the closest thing to godlikeness ever, and offered to all. The DNA or the genetics of indestructible immortality. The what and the why, or the how, rather, the wow, rather. And we're going to take a look at that out of 1 Corinthians 15 again. So that's part of the quest. On the one hand, I believe there's a drivenness, a spiritual drivenness communicated in hearts and minds that is bled into the world of politics, economics, on the tables of the scientists, in the hearts and minds of transgenists, and transhumanists. There is a quest in this evolutionary development. There is a doctrine that has been absolutely embedded broad and wide in the global New Age or the spiritual alternative movement that's out there. Now, that includes alienology or ufology. That includes the concept that dry or physical evolution includes a spiritual evolution, and if we've really evolved from the goo in the primordial ooze into little things that had legs and sprouted arms and then eventually walked and all the rest, if we really were evolved out of nothing, out of chaos, out of monkeys, then an evolution to our nature to conquer the concept of death, to conquer the concept of, to change humanity, well, forever. And that's what the geneticists are talking about. Now, this book I'm reading is absolutely incredible, The Religion of Technology. Predicted back in the 30s, occultist Alice Bailey, led by a demonic entity, an extra-dimensional entity, very clearly was given the content saying that in the evolutionary development of their agenda, science and spirit would meet, that the veil between science and the spiritual would come down, and that scientists would be led into, a whole new realm. Well, tonight you're listening again to Shatter the Darkness Live, 6 p.m. all the way through the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, it is true that Friday night is the conference in Canton, Ohio. I'll be giving one of the opening messages that night. You know what the title of it is? Seeing into the Future. Thousands of you have already downloaded the podcast that we put up on Saturday. It's called Seeing Into the Future. It's kind of giving you an overview of the book that's coming out October the 20th. It's called Seeing Into the Future, and there is a link on the site, shatterthedarkness.net, over there to the right where the eye is. Just click on it. It'll give you the contents of the book and information about it. But that's the opening session. Actually seeing into real human future history and seeing some of the details. We're going to see the blood and guts. We're going to see the glory. We're going to see the interactions of man. We're going to see what the dark side is up to and what God is going to do. You and I are living in the midst of it. In a ragged and broken world, we know that we have pain. We know that we have difficulty. But I want you to know today, you've been prayed for. May God, the living God, the Christ that gave his heart and life at the cross for you. Your value is measured at the foot of that cross. God loved you, and God desires you, and God knows you, and God wants you. And God has provided a way to eliminate all the barriers for all of us to come to know him. And to receive a gift that conquers the issues, well, that the scientists and the physicists and those in the field of AI, the possibility of machine-based immortality and resurrection. You see, I'm not looking for that. I don't search for that. I'm not worried about that. There's something inside that I have, something inside that I know, something inside that the Spirit of God communicates deep within. The Word of God clearly echoes clearly. It is it flows from the words of the Savior Christ. Jesus said one time, and only he could say it, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And he commanded that Lazarus come forth. Jesus himself, based on that infinite lens of biblical prophecy, 1,000 years in advance, the resurrection was declared. And Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God that was exerted, he was raised. Listen, you know what it is? You know what a miracle is? It's the physics of God. It's the function of God. It's the ability of God. Now listen, science may not be able to tap into it, but there really is a physics to it. There is a sense of power, the immaterial, the presence, the power, the infinite that affects. It doesn't make any difference. It could be rotting human flesh in a grave, dead humanity in a grave, and just the exertion. Now listen, if there are those that speculate that they would be able to do that through human, well, evolution, progress, genetics, science, will there be a machine that can be hooked up to a rotting corpse and resurrect it, bring back the human spirit, do all of that? Wonder why there's a desire for that. What about the geneticists that are seeking to find the factor in the death code? The death gene. They can't renew. They can't keep it going. They can't keep it alive. They can't beat the fact that there's something wrong inside this code. So when I think of these words, the possibilities of machine-based immortality and resurrection, whether you would be downloaded into AI, artificial intelligence, remember the movie that came out, AI? It's worth watching to see the implications, to see the quest. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a quest that is driven, that is bled into the entire development of globalism. You and I can look at it as conspiracy, what's affecting the economy, what's going on with the politics, what's happening to our nation, what's going on with the false flag development of wars and rumors of wars. But there is a reason to the madness behind hell's desire to be immortal, infinite. There is a reason behind the science that seeks an evolution to immortality. And we're going to take a look at some of that tonight. Now, I've read to you already out of one book. I'm going to read again something to you that I think is absolutely astounding. Just before I do, I've got to tell you about two Robert sent in to me. Appreciate it, Robert. Thank you for sending in. This is the title of the article, Russia is Creating a DARPA of Its Own to Drive Wild Technological Innovation. To drive wild technological innovation. Now that is extremely, as I've been saying, and I will say it again, keep watching weapons development worldwide, especially when it comes to planetary defense weapons systems, weapons that seem to be, connected to maybe even a life source, maybe even an outside power, maybe that has come from extra-dimensional ideas, or at least look at the evidence of the development of these kind of weapons that can be shot into space. There is going to be, because of this motivation, because of this lust to become God, because of this insatiable, maddening lust from the fallen cherub to become God, all of history is being driven in one way. Now, we're just the fodder. We're just the simply the tools that side needs to try to strike out, get and eliminate out of the way. Even if Satan could kill God, could you imagine? Finite being against the infinite. And if that was to occur, what would occur? What would happen to the universe, upheld by the infinite presence and power of God? What would happen to everything? And would this enable the fallen cherub? Listen, I'm talking now to all the theologians and all the biblical heads out there. What would happen if Satan was able to become immortal on his own? I mean, it's without question the attempt, the unleashing of ideas to develop the science. It's clear that underground Luciferians have tested the concepts of resurrection, handing down human soul in ritual to the next generation to keep the ancient ones alive. Whether that's true or not, that's what they say. Russia's going to have some wild technology. They're going to have technologies, and the article mentions that Russians were even worse at the idea of taking over scientists and inventors, and they run the risk of having their ideas stolen by the government without compensation. Again, will the Russians sell out to spirit-communicated information that develops some kind of super weapons? Now, I would say that they will be open to that because in the 70s, the Psy Warriors and the incredible amount of money and individuals, Stalin's idea of super soldiers, the hybrid mix of an ape and a human to create a powerful warrior. So the science is absolutely skewed in Russia, as the article says. Thank you, Robert, that they're going to be driven towards wild technological innovations. Now, I wonder if that's going to include anybody working on artificial intelligence, AI, in a progressive way to somehow, some way, bring about machine-based immortality, machine-based resurrection. Now, that's one of the articles out there, again, saying in a public way what the quest is all about. Now, let me tell you another thing that occurred, and I thought it was absolutely bizarre. Segway scooter firm owner, you know, Segway, the thing that has two wheels and you stand up on it and you have the handles and you can, you know, Californians have it around Europe. I'm looking at the body of the millionaire. He's 62 years old. The guy that created the Segway scooter and owns the firm dies. You know how? He was riding the Segway near a cliff, went off over the cliff into the waters, and died. And I'm quoting here, quote, a Segway-styled vehicle was recovered from the scene, the spokesman told AFP, adding that police were called to the scene after reports of a man apparently having fallen from the cliffs above. The incident is not believed to be suspicious, she added. But it is bizarre that the man that creates this machine to ride around on, get around on, well, he goes over the cliff with his machine and he's dead. And he is gone. Death is the big issue. Death really is the big issue. There's a book I have here to my right. It's called The Immortal Cell. The Immortal Cell. At the very end of the book, I'm reading these words, quote, whether it occurs by accident or by final extinction of the universe itself, death will eventually prevail. I want to bring that back towards the end. I'm going to bring that in contrast to 1 Corinthians 15, where there is a declaration prophetically. Here it is. Listen to it now. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin. Now listen, it goes on to talk about this. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The death of Christ, listen now, the death of Christ involves the death of death. The death of Christ brings a finality to death's prevailing power in the core of the human structure here. So this fellow that writes the book, The Immortal Cell, and the goal concerning somehow overcoming death. He says these words, immortality itself is not achievable. Whether it occurs by accident or by the final extinction of the universe itself, death will eventually prevail. You know what he goes on to say? But as human beings, our duty and our destiny is, and always will be, to strive to live a life of those we love. And then he quotes Gilgamesh. Can you imagine this? The old man becometh young. He's quoting the ancient Babylonians. Let me tell you something today. I'm not quoting the ancient Babylonians. They didn't overcome death. They didn't learn where immortality can be obtained. And especially on Friday, in the pre-recorded live segment that will be out at 6 o'clock, we'll be speaking about this indestructible immortality, the gift of God, the physics of God that affect the DNA. Listen, when Jesus said the words over Lazarus, dead, they thought by now 4 days, he stinketh, he's rotting, he's coming apart physically, he had already left days before. And all of a sudden, demonstrating the attribute of infinite God in human flesh, the stone is rolled away, and in sight of everybody, Christ. It's where the words of Scripture. Now notice this incredible infinite level of physics. Call it a miracle. In connection to the infinite love of God, the words of Scripture there say, Jesus wept. You know, the shortest Scripture in all of the Bible, that was done in the context. Where did Jesus weep? If you read the words in Greek, Jesus wept, it means there was an emotional outcry, almost with a level of anger in it. It is a word that has enormous emotion to it. Jesus wept deeply. Jesus unleashed a weeping in the sight of all of those that were mourning the death of Lazarus, in the sight of a grave. Here before, God in human flesh was the sting of death, the victory of death. The wages of sin is death. Lazarus is dead. His body has been rotting. He stinks by now. He's been wrapped in the strips of cloth. The people are around the gravesite. And now we have someone, no one else Monogenesis, Christ, Lazarus come forth. Lazarus come forth. And by the single act of command, like in creation, recreation the same. The physics of it, I don't know. I mean, that's what science is all about. Science is, and the physics and the theoretical physics is all about the sequential acquiring of more information that leads us to more ideas, to more science, to more things, to new things, to artificial intelligence, to transhumanism, to whatever else that is driving the human heart and mind to conquer death. To conquer the death code, to conquer and obtain by our physics, by our function, by our science, immortality. Like some of the really crazy, scary movies that's been out there, Reanimator and some of the other ones. You ever see where they bring the dead person back and they reanimate, but the dead person still has all of the reasons why it died, and it comes back and it's always some kind of zombie? Lazarus did not come forth as a zombie. He wasn't rotting. He didn't stink. Literally, they had to take the grave clothes off of him. I could imagine that. Around watching this scenario, the Pharisees and those who wanted to kill God and Christ, the makers of human religion and elitist religion, obviously wanted every bit of power. And when they saw Lazarus come out of the tomb and he was alive, Lazarus was going to come forth and family members were going to hug him. Lazarus was raised from the dead. By what power? By what science? By what physics? Can I say again? This is the glorious physics of the infinite, immeasurable, almost incomprehensible God. Because the motivation, those crying around, death's victory over sinning man, the rotting corpse of Lazarus, and yet Jesus weeps. It's not the only time God in human flesh wept over all of Jerusalem. Do you understand the emotion of God for you? The emotional desire of God for you. Do you understand the heart of God? Do you understand the feelings of God? Listen, this is why New Agers need to understand, this is why physicists need to understand, that the presence behind the universe is not a force, though he has force, not just a power, though there is power, not just some unreachable, immaterial existence. God is there, but yet beyond us. The finite does have a hard time reaching, especially because of the things that separate. Now I come to you and I say to you, I feel God. I know his presence. He dwells within. That's the motivation behind what we're saying, what we're doing, why we're here, why we prayed in advance, why we asked God to engage every listener live, why we've asked God to engage everyone that downloads in 80-some countries of the world. We ask God to stretch out his hand. We pray for the science of God, the physics of God, the love of God, the power of God in Christ at the cross, death, resurrection, ascension, the gift of salvation. It's not artificial intelligence. It's God in Christ's intelligence. It's not the ability of science to come up with transgenics, transhumanism, somehow in science overcome death, somehow induce immortality. To what end? And immortal Hitler? And immortal Stalin? What about immortality for Charles Manson? Immortality for the rapists. Immortality. In whose hand? How much will it cost? If science comes up with artificial intelligence, if science comes up with spirit-to-brain super science that somehow would give to humanity immortality, not just the concept of longevity, that you can live to be 200, but the idea of absolute regeneration of all the physical elements of your life. Oh, what it would be to be young again. But even more than young, something supernatural. Homo lumus? Homo deity? Mankind as deity? Immortal? Reaching the stars? Listen, if we were immortal, could we reach the stars? Could we get to the other side of the universe? The quest is incredible. What's behind the motivation? In all of this, as I'm reading, no scientist, no physicist explains the meaning of death. The why. Why is it inside my physical body is the death code there? Why is my body aging, literally dying, and will prevail, well, as the writer to the book, The Immortal Soul, or The Immortal Cell, he's very clear. He's in his observation of everything, of his knowledge of science, of his knowledge of humanity, of his knowledge of history, of his knowledge of anthropology, of his knowledge of all of it, he just simply tells us that immortality itself is not achievable. Whether it occurs by accident or by final extinction of the universe itself, death, he says, will eventually prevail. Really? Is that the good news of science? Is that the good news of a researcher that has come to the conclusion that, you know, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, transgenics, spirit-to-mind science cannot come up with the thing, the science, the physics, the code, the gene, the machine that overcomes the rotting, dying of this incredibly designed physical body. Now, you're living in one. I'm living in one. It is you. I am not you, and you are not me. Isn't it amazing? Billions of people, there's only one of me, there's only one of you. Is that the chance thing? Does this make sense when Stephen Hawking and others come out to say that, well, the universe doesn't need God to create it. It comes from a spontaneous, out of nothing creation. Really? Really? What do we do about death? What do we do about dying? What do we do about our grandmothers, our grandfathers? What do we do? The Segway owner, founder, rider falls off the cliff and he's dead. He's dead. He's gone. Nothing left but a funeral, a laying into the ground 6 feet under. You know, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the messages we hear, the cards that are sent, the OB in the newspaper. And everybody, in all the years as a pastor when I've done funerals, there is weeping. There is loss. They can't communicate. They can't get to it. Houdini never came back. But I read the words of God, if you're interested. I read the words of God to the transhumanist, to Stephen Hawking, to Richard Dawkins, to you, my dear friend, who may be here by the providence of God, being summoned by the Spirit of God, by the same Jesus, who is at the graveside of Lazarus, and before he raised him from the dead, Jesus, with deep emotion, with deep, thick, heavy emotion, he wept. I hope you can feel the heart of God. I hope you can understand the depth of God. I hope you do. Here are the words of God. Here are the words that come from God. death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's almost as though 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, it's almost poetic, as if the Spirit of God giving the words of God mocks death and its seeming longevity. Since the fall of the human race, people have sought to escape death. There is a psychology behind death. It's about fear. Psychologists tell us that, you listen, what we think about a lot, sex, death, but we don't want to talk about death. Who wants to talk about death? Close your eyes and imagine yourself dead. No longer in that body. Where are you? And your body is where? It's in the ground, in the casket. I don't like caskets. I've never gotten into one and had them close a lid. You ever have that weird feeling that if you ever did that, just messing around or just visiting? I've had a couple of friends that were owners of a funeral home. And they got all these caskets there in the one room, kind of like a car showroom. You go in and you pick out your color, you pick out the wood, or you pick out the metal, or you pick out your own. You ever get up in one and lay down and say, hey, close the lid, let me feel what it's like. Close the lid, let me see. Close the lid. You know, when they close the lid and they put me under and the dirt is covering me and the tombstone is there, what's going to be on the tombstone? What's going to be there? Maybe the words of God, 1 Corinthians 15, 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, again, in the physics of God, God provided something. He provided a way to be forgiven. He provided a way to conquer the power of the sin code within. He provided a way to break the rights of the dark presence that animates the world and is leading the world down the drain. He provides the way that you and I, in our human spirit, can be made instantly alive, born again, new birth. And with the new birth and knowing God, if you know God, this means that implanted in you is omnion zoe, eternal life. Planted inside of you. Now, this is why I'm going to say theologically, as a young theologian, here's what I'm going to say. That it involves your DNA, that it involves your genetics, that salvation in Christ impacts the genetic code, that it impacts the DNA, that it goes down to the roots, that presence within, that sin nature within, not only have you been forgiven completely by God, but the sin nature has been rendered powerless. You've been set free, my friend. You can look at it in Romans 6. You can look at it in Romans 8. Hallelujah. You've been set free. You've been forgiven. But that's not all. You've come into relationship with God. The living presence of Christ is in. Now you know that you know that you know. It's a personal relationship. You can feel the power. You can feel the force. You can feel the joy. You can feel the life. You can feel the assurance. And the Word of God is opened up to you. And a life of building that relationship now with God in Christ is before you. Because the power that brings justification and the power that brings sanctification, listen to me, Christians, is the power that develops you in that dynamic sanctification. Growing in Christ. Hearing the words of God, adding precept upon precept. Knowing inside that you will live forever, that whatever happens. Jesus said the words right there when he wept before Lazarus is called out of the seeming realm of the victories of death and the rotting of his corpse. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, you go through the Gospel of John. Maybe you're a quester. Maybe you're a seeker. Maybe you're there in the Netherlands listening, or in France listening, or in Germany. Maybe in the science lab, military base. Maybe on the shortwave, wherever it is that you're listening. Let me tell you this. You know that you don't have the answer to death. You know that you don't have the answer to sin. You don't have the answer. You can't just scream at God and say, get back down here in my soul so I can know you. Because you did it. You caused the separation. You caused the division. You caused the breakdown. And the wages of sin is death. It corrupts us. It affects our genetics. There's a sin code, a death code. Hell is the ultimate place. Penalty? What else are we going to do? Are we going to be in this state as people that sin and kill and maim and rape and cheat and lie? Are we going to be immortalized? Is that heaven? Is heaven a bunch of immortal people doing the same thing that we are doing down here on earth right now? Forget about it. I'd like to say that in the Italian. Forget about it. Heaven is a great place. There's no death. There's no rape. There's no sin. There's no lying. There's no cheating. There's no political, economic. There's just all the junk. It's not there, my friend. No broken legs, no crippled bodies, no blind eyes, no back pain. If you understand the cause of this hell on earth, this ragged edge of an abnormal existence, because it's not what we were meant to be, not what we were meant to experience. Now, you can choose to go your own way. You can choose to find your own direction. You can choose to fight your entire life and develop artificial intelligence that can be bring about the possibilities of a machine-based immortality. Ooh, you could be downloaded into a machine. You could look like the Terminator. You could somehow be resurrected, reanimated. Is that what you want? How many times? How long will that last? There's something incredible wielded at the cross. There's something that God has done and involves the physics of God, the science of God, the function of God, the power of God, and it's all because of the heart of God. God loves you and didn't just stop with the emotion of love. God provided a way to break what we screwed up. God provided a way to break us free from the dark presence that entered because we opened the door and gave the rights. So I hope you're listening when I read the words, once again, if you're a seeker, a searcher. You can find them 1 Corinthians 15:55. I believe God mocks death. A declaration of victory, a celebration. Maybe there should be a great trumpet blown when these words are spoken. Where, O death, is your victory? I mean, God's questioning death. Where's your victory? Where's your sting? In the beginning of the verse, it says simply this: death has been swallowed up. Verse 54, you read it? Death swallowed up. I love looking at original words. Because the word swallow means to devour, the idea to drown. God has drowned death. God has devoured death. God has conquered death. God has entered death. When the living Christ comes into your life and the new gift, the gift of eternal life, the actual, there's physics to this. His spirit comes in. Our spirit is made alive. We're affected completely to where in our heart, in our mind, in our conscience, the Holy Spirit bears witness that we know God. God loves us, that we have the gift of eternal life. And though we don't know the science behind the awe-striking miracle of all of this, we trust the one that more than the science is the will, more than the physics is the heart of God. So do you want to know how to have the gift of indestructible immortality? Jesus Christ. Can I plead with you to study the Gospel of John more and more and more and more and look through? Can I encourage you, scientists and physicists and transhumanists, New Agers? You're going to hear me this week in a series talk about the lie of the ages. Talk about, well, a spiritual promise that seems to be exciting. It seems to involve new science. It seems to involve something. And the promise keeps getting bigger and broader. It's as if the masqueraded fallen cherub says, I promise you more, and I promise you more, and I promise you, and evolution, and it's going to go into deity, and you're going to be like gods. The promise that was made thousands of years ago has never been fulfilled. The finite cannot do it, but the infinite, immortal, never having a beginning, never having an ending, never having to seek immortality, never having to do any of that. God, the immortal God, has infinite resource. His science is bigger. His love is broader. And his heart is committed to give to you the gift of eternal life. It's simply John 3:16. God so loved you, the world, those in the Sudan, those in the Himalayas, those in Alaska, those on the Hawaiian Islands, the black, the white, the red, the yellow, the totality. Pos anthropos. See, praying for every human being to come to know God in Christ. You know what the Bible says? Read about it in the book of Timothy, chapter 2. This is good and pleases God our Savior. This is good and pleases God. That word means there's an emotional delight. God loves when those who already know him are praying for those who don't know him. How many thousands of believers will ramp up their prayers now in praying for the power, the presence, the summoning of God to be stretched out to bring salvation to those who do not yet have it? God's buluma, his entire determined counsel. He's not willing that anybody perish. And even if you're a Satanist, even if you're a Luciferian, even if you're just a dirty drug dealer, even if you're some crazy pervert, sin and Satan has robbed your life. You've given yourself to it. Hell is your ultimate embrace outside of the grace of God. Your sin is not bigger than the blood of Christ and the work of God at the cross. The grace of God superabounds, and now the summons of God. And may the Spirit of God bring the conviction, the convincing, and the drawing that is needed. Right now, as you're listening, wherever you're at, you can pray it out. Living Christ that called Lazarus from the dead, that wept over humanity. Living Christ who died once, rose from the dead, conquering death, ascended into heaven, glorified, back to where you came from, coming again. I accept you. I accept the gift of eternal life. I accept your forgiveness in your life. I turn to you. I repent. I turn around from sin, Satan, and the hellishness of this life. And I turn to God, and I believe, and I accept, and I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is there anybody bigger, anybody broader, anybody that's done something more? Any reason why you're waiting? If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God comes into your life. Listen, shadowthedarkness.net. On the left-hand side, there's a little picture of a Bible where it says dynamic discipleship. You click on there, it'll give you a page. We had begun, we haven't put much more on there since we started, but there's about nine one-hour teachings. One of it's called this, How to Know Jesus Christ and the Salvation He Gives. Another one-hour training, MP3. How to Know You Are Saved, Assurance of Salvation. There's another one, How to Know What Happens at Salvation. There's another one, How to Know the Presence and Power of God. And on and on and on. Maybe you're someone that did accept Christ, you haven't grown. There's some hours worth of training, hours worth of some teaching materials, hours worth of scripture you can memorize to grow and deepen and be literally struck with the awe that God does strike us by that grace. Grow in Christ. When I read the words of another book, you're gonna wonder about this week. It's called Redesigning Humans, Choosing Our Genes, Changing Our Future. Gregory Stock. Oh, it's been out a while. People have been talking about it. I read one of the quotes that Gregory puts in chapter one, the first page. He brings a quote from Marcus Garvey. This comes out of the 1940 when he lived. It's the title of the chapter, The Last Human. Listen to the words. God and nature first made us what we are, and then out of our own created genius, we make ourselves what we want to be. Let the sky and God be our limit, and eternity our measurement. I wonder, with Marcus being long dead since 1940, obviously he didn't make it. No ability to generate immortality on his own. No ability to evolve. The sky wasn't the limit. The limit is down here. It's when your heart stops. It's when you're in that car wreck and everything ends. It's when you've been shot on the battlefield. The casket, when you're lying on it, they close the lid. It's over. On a physical level, it's over. Appointed unto man once to die, after that a judgment. Let me read the words of, again, someone that's talking about the glories of genetic science. I quote these words, "We know that Homo sapiens is not the final word in primate evolution, but few have yet grasped that we are on the cusp of profound biological change, poised to transcend our current form and character on a journey to destinations of new imagination." Hey, there's that like carrot on the stick. There's that illusionary promise. There's that grandeur of speech. Here goes on, quote, "The first glance, the very notion that we might become more than human seems preposterous. After all, we are still biologically identical in virtually every way, respect to our cave-dwelling ancestors. But this lack of change is deceptive. Never before have we had the power to manipulate human genetics, to alter our biology in meaningful, predictable ways." What are the consequences? Are they seeking immortality? Are they seeking longevity? Listen, when I go back and read the words of Isaiah, there was an entity in the heavenlies and he screamed. You can read it in Ezekiel 28 when his heart twisted, when there was a transmutation, when there was a willed, violent insurrection, when he said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will. This is more than Nietzsche's will to power. This is an incredible super being, of a once anointed cherub that twists and turns and wills. This is the will that comes and stands in the face of humanity and draws us away, promising us an evolutionary development to godhood. If we would spit in the face of God, throw his word to the ground, leave our created circle. All that happened was death, the trail of tears, ragged edge, sin, blood, guts, death, hell, separation. Are we that stupid that we have not learned? The will to power, operative in these days that we live in, that very presence, Revelation 12 tells us, knows its time is short, and it's furious, and there is a rage to move the world into great catastrophic collapse, push it into a luciferic globalism, and the insatiable lust of the fallen cherub to stand in the temple where Christ will come and declare that it itself is God. The finite beating its chest, saying that it's God. And by that presence, billions of human beings will die. Blood will be shed. It's all of us that need to recognize what's behind the scenes. We have a sense of it. The tip of the iceberg, God explains it clearly. The insatiable lust of the, well, fallen one, Satan, devil, seeking godhood, promising and giving a spiritual alternative to God's immortality, to God's gift of eternity, to God's offer and summons. I haven't met a New Ager yet that has become deity. I haven't met a Gnostic that has become God. I don't know of one Hindu guru that has become infinite. Can the finite become infinite? No. Not even the fallen cherub has been able to do it in all these thousands of years. Well, listen, we're coming towards the end of this hour, and so much more to say, so much more to point to. Death has been devoured. Death has been swallowed up. Death has been conquered. And it's all because of the one that wept, gave his life, and embraces those of you that know him right now. Those of you that don't, come to Christ. Listen, my friends, this is Russ Dizdar. We're at the end of the hour. The music is here. Remember us in prayers. Remember the conference this coming Friday. Remember us in support. God bless you. See you tomorrow night. Good night.